And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to a brand new week of the 9 to Noon Show here in Highland Radio. And as you heard from Lee there, it's a busy one for loads of different reasons. We are here now over the next 3 hours, hopefully to keep you informed and entertained. And we want you involved in the conversation as well. Get involved. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. Now, maybe something occurred over the weekend that you think we should know about. Maybe you had a very nice experience or an act of kindness or good news as well. We're more than happy to hear that. 086 60 25,000. If you prefer to give us a call, you can ring Caroline or Katie on 07491 25,000, and email comments at highlandradio.com. So the Donegal Camino's underway. And we'll be joining it, as we heard from Lee there, on Thursday. It's an early start Thursday morning as we do the Arranmore Loop, 16 kilometres. Really looking forward to that. Hopefully the weather plays ball, but Arranmore is so beautiful. You just have the right clothes on and it doesn't really matter what the weather's like, does it? So we're looking forward to that. And we're also heading to London on Saturday. We've got a great show for you lined up on Sunday morning. We're doing it as we would any outside broadcast here. It's just going to be loads of chat, conversation, live music. Get a sense of what people are doing over in London. If you're about London and you're heading along, get in touch with us. We'd love to chat to you to hear how you're getting on there. But as I say, we've got loads of great guests lined up, and that's going to be a great show. That's on Sunday between 12 and 2. On Thursday, I'll be coming in and out of this show. I think Michael is in the hot seat on Thursday. I'll be coming in and out of it, chatting to people from Arranmore Island as we do the Camino. So it's all to raise money for Cancer Care West, particularly the Letterkenny office here, the amazing work that they do. It raises superb amounts of funds every year. I think they're well into the 70s now this year. That money is invaluable to keep going, to keep the work going. And as I say, we'll be hooking in with the Camino a little later on in this hour, just to get a sense of what's going on. It's been it's hugely popular every year, but there's only a few spaces left on a couple of the walks. That's the level of interest there is in relation to it. And as Lee mentioned as well, we've got 10 grand to give away on Friday. That's going to be exciting to make someone's day. That would make my month, to be honest with you, if not my quarter. And Lee's also going to have 2.5 grand to give away in his breakfast show. I'll tell you more about that a little later on. Let's get to the newspapers this Monday morning. It's the 1st of September. Summer is over. I've been saying that since mid-July, but it is the 1st of September and it feels like, right, we're into I think everyone is almost back at school, bar the young kids at Little Angels. They have to wait till Thursday. But more generally, I think everyone's pretty much back at school now, are they? Most schools are open and, you know, the traffic's changed and all that kind of stuff. And the weather, it's played its role in changing as well. The front of the Derry People Donegal News is a picture of, I was going to say it's an iconic picture of Ollie Horgan, but every picture taken of him on the sideline in one form or other is iconic because he's got such a character-rich face. The headline, Ollie Horgan, one of a kind. Family and friends, former teaching colleagues and those whose lives were touched by Ollie Horgan will pay an emotional farewell today as his funeral takes place this lunchtime in his native Galway. And you can be sure it's going to be incredibly well attended. Such was his impact in the world of education, but the world of sport. And when you're really good in sport, your reputation goes beyond sort of your own club or whatever club you've been at. You know, people in sport recognise what you've got, and I'm sure even the likes of a Jim McGuinness or whatever would look on and say, yeah, Ollie Horgan had something there. He had a Midas touch with what he was had available to him, if that makes sense. The Derry News this morning, a man has suffered serious injuries after he was reportedly attacked by a group of 9 masked men in Derry. Police were appealing for information after the assault, which occurred at about midnight on Friday, Inspector O'Donnell said. We received a report from our colleague at Northern Ireland Ambulance Services that a man had sustained serious injuries in Watersleet, in the Waterloo Street area. And you can get more details of that appeal on the front of it inside that paper today. On to the Nationals. And I'm sorry, some of you just don't want me to be reading about the presidential election, but it's kind of hotting up, you see. And there's a bit of friction within Fianna Fáil over who's going to get the nod. They're described as tensions because Taoiseach Micheál Martin really quite quickly came out and backed Jim Gavin, even though a very popular member of his party is also seeking a nomination. Reading on here, tensions are rising in Fianna Fáil with Taoiseach Micheál Martin getting pushback from TDs over his plans to make Jim Gavin the party's presidential candidate. As Mr. Martin hit the phones throughout Saturday trying to nail down support for the former Dublin football manager, some calls with backbenchers were described as tetchy. One conversation has been characterised as highly charged when the TD challenged the leader's logic in backing the former Donegal GEA manager over long-standing politician and Ireland South MEP Billy Kelleher. Mr. Kelleher's campaign got a major boost on Saturday with the public support of Dublin MEP Barry Andrews, who described him as leading pro-choice voice during the referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment, who has also stood up for the defence of Ukraine and justice in Palestine. With supporters of Mr. Kelleher holding firm against pressure from the leadership, Mr. Martin has a battle on his hands. So I'm not really quite sure as of yet. We'll try and get a sense of who the two local TDs would be backing, Pat the Cope Gallagher and Charlie McConnell Logue. So we'll make the appropriate calls to see if they're publicly stating who they are going to be backing. But maybe you're a rank and file Fianna Fáil member, as they say. Would you prefer Jim Gavin, or do you think Mr. Kelleher, with his stance on certain issues and his reputation and of course his work within the party, would you prefer him to get the nod? Let me know. 086 60 25,000. There is a vacancy still in terms of a bishop in this area, a Catholic bishop in this area, and I do wonder if this story might indicate that will a bishop ever actually be appointed? I don't know. It is only speculation because we don't know the details. But anyway, what is a fact? The Catholic Church in Ireland will downsize with fewer dioceses and fewer bishops on the orders of Pope Leo. Speaking at his home in Arcioli, very, very poor at pronouncing that, I'm very, very sorry, in the grounds of St. Patrick's Cathedral, Armagh, Archbishop Eamon Martin, Primate of All Ireland, told the Irish Daily Mail that a few months before Cardinal Robert Prevost was elected Pope in May, he met with all four Irish archbishops. The meeting took place in Rome in February when Cardinal Prevost was the head of the diocese for the Dicastery for Bishops, effectively the Vatican's Department for Bishops and Dioceses. Archbishop Martin believes that on foot of those discussions, the new Pope has definite ideas of changes required for the Church in Ireland. I do think that Pope Leo is going to call the Irish Church in some way, going to page four here, in some way re-examine the re-examine its structures to look at the potential for amalgamation of dioceses to see where that might serve the mission of the church, Archbishop Martin said in a wide-ranging interview. Because if we become a church of maintenance and monuments, we're not a church of mission. So Pope says we have too many bishops. It doesn't really quite say that in the quotes, but anyway, I do wonder what it means for local dioceses and I suppose local vacancies in relation to bishops. On to the Irish Times this morning, and it's possible that Irish troops will end up in Ukraine. This is if there's ever peace found there. I think Vladimir Putin has been playing Donald Trump. Actually, interesting, Donald Trump, where is he? There's an awful lot of speculation as to his health and well-being, because Donald Trump would be he would be very active in the public eye. He's often engaging with the media. You'd see him out and about. You know, he'd even do interviews before getting on his plane and off his plane. But he hasn't really spoken to the media now for 5 or 6 days. And it's starting to raise some questions. This is the longest he's been absent from press conferences and what have you. Now, obviously, as is the way online, lots of people speculating, where's Trump? There must be something up with Trump. What's the story with Trump's health? The exact same way they did with Joe Biden. And the White House has released a couple of pictures, which are kind of controversial because the pictures do appear to be from a couple of weeks ago. Now, that is yet to be confirmed, but they don't appear to be brand new pictures. So a lot of people are wondering, what is the story with Donald Trump? Is his medical condition that he has more severe? There's some suggestion that he might be prone to many strokes, and perhaps maybe he's suffering from one of the larger ones, which he would come back from. But as I say, he might be healthy and hearty, and I would hope any human being is. But it is very unusual for him to not engage with the media for 5 or 6 days. His son also very, very active on social media. He hasn't posted anything for 3 days. But anyway, be that as it may, we'll see. Normally these things turn out to be nothing, don't they? But there's a lot of speculation out there, so I thought I'd reference it. Irish troops could be part of a peacekeeping force in Ukraine after the end of the war with Russia. Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence Simon Harris has indicated the prospects for the recruitment situation, the security situation after the end of the war in Ukraine were discussed by European Union ministers this weekend in Copenhagen at an informal summit hosted by the Danish EU presidency. For right or wrong, I'm really, really have been trying to resist getting reading glasses. I just have this theory. This is not advice. I just think once you start using them, you know, you get periods of time where you've got eye strain, your eyes are a bit tired. Normally reading is not a problem for me, and it still isn't. But I'm reading through these newspapers now, and I'm telling you, there's a few words, and I'm like, I'm kind of having to rely on my mind to fill in the words. I think at my ripe old age, it might be time to give in to reading glasses. I'll have to think about it, but we're getting there. I think we're getting there, folks. It could be a shady start to the start of September. The Irish Daily Star this morning. Lack of motivation, stress and a concern about health checks are too expensive. Are stopping Irish women from protecting their heart. Health new figures have suggested the high cost of healthy foods and gym membership are also creating barriers to living a healthy lifestyle. Irish Heart Foundation research said the Ipsos BNA research for the charity's Her Heart Matters campaign reveals only 13% of females correctly think they are more likely to be diagnosed with heart disease and stroke than breast cancer. That's 66%. That's despite the former condition killing six times as many women as breast cancer. So women are hyper-conscious of breast cancer, and rightly so, and they believe that that might be a greater threat to them than heart health. But the fact of the matter, that is not the case. Janice Morrissey, the Irish Heart Foundation's Director of Health Promotion, said, "What we are asking women to do is to take stock of where they are and understand what factors impact their health. Even one small change can make a huge difference." So women, do you have a lack of motivation? Are you stressed? Or do you have a concern over the cost of health checks? Gym membership, is that a barrier? Like, would you like to get more healthy, but these are things that are affecting you? Does it resonate with you that you might be far more worried about, you know, getting breast cancer than suffering from heart disease and stroke, even though heart disease and stroke are more common in women than breast cancer in terms of the loss of life? So let us know. 086 60 25,000. I think we have this notion that, you know, fellas are really, really bad at going to the GP and looking after themselves, which I know that's a blanket statement and I know it's not fully accurate. But anyway, the sense is that, you know, women are really good at this, but maybe they're not. And, you know, we need to shift the dial on that. What's your view of an Irish armada of aid ships setting sail from Spain to break Israel's blockade of Gaza? Well, it's not going to break Israel's blockade of Gaza. They won't even get within sight of Gaza before they're turned around. This is reported in the Irish Daily Mirror. The Global Summit Flotilla left Barcelona carrying food, water and medicine. Activists on board, including Greta Thunberg, demanded safe passage and the opening of a humanitarian sea corridor. The maritime convoy of about 20 vessels and a delegation from 44 countries is thought to be the largest attempt to date to break the Israeli blockade of the Gaza Strip by sea, which has now lasted 18 years. They will be joined by more ships from ports in Italy and Tunisia. as a pre-departure press conference. Irish actor Liam Cunningham played a clip of a Palestinian child named Fatima singing a song she wanted played at her funeral. She was killed in Gaza 4 days ago. He said, "What sort of a world have we slid into? What sort of a human hole have we found ourselves in when children, beautiful angels, are making their own funeral arrangements?" It's absolutely horrendous. And anything, I think, to do that can be done to try and ease that situation needs to be done. I do wonder sometimes why we don't pay as much attention to other parts of the world where children, as innocent as Gazan children, are also suffering the same fate. But celebrity seem to be very interested in what's happening in Gaza. I did note as well, too, by the way, and this is not to take away from what they're doing, there have been a couple of sort of high-profile Irish influencers who have been very pro-Palestine. And I do know a couple of them took glamping from Coca-Cola, a very Israeli intertwined company, for electric picnics. So on one hand, very critical of what's happening in Palestine. On the other, content with the comfy glamping sponsored by Coca-Cola. Finally, a new list of storm names, including a nod to Irish author Bram Stoker, have been revealed. Met Aaron called on citizens to submit their preferred names through a social media campaign. More than 10,000 names were received from 4,137 members of the public. Names chosen for 2025-2026 by Met Aaron include, and I'll get to them in a moment, "What's it like being a storm named after you?" That is something I've never had, not in my memory. Is it good crack? Is it a nightmare? Is it nothing? But anyway, Brian's in there to honour the renowned Irish writer of Dracula. Bram's in there. There's the glasses again. Fionnuala. It's a bit late for Fionnuala now. Fionnuala's obviously still very much involved in Highland Radio. She's not here on a day-to-day basis, but Storm Fionnuala could be on the way. Jared, Cassia, Marty, Patrick, Storm Patrick, that sounds about right, and Tig also got the Irish nod. So those are the Irish names submitted. Bram, Fionnuala, Gerard, Cassia, Marty, Patrick and Tig. So if those are one of your names and there's a storm coming, you're in for a bit of an old slagging on your social media, I doubt. Okay, that was a run through some of the stories making the papers today. We'll be back shortly. Greg posed the question, Kelleher or Gavin, as candidate for Fianna Fáil in the presidential race. I would say neither when you look at the way this government is running the country. Any candidate that has links with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or Sinn Féin, no thanks. But, I mean, obviously, that they would be, this is selecting them as a candidate, not necessarily selecting them as president. That'll be your decision. So we're only talking about the internal, we're only talking about the internal efforts to find a candidate for that party in particular. Hi, Greg. Denmark left-wing government has solved the immigration crisis. Will Ireland copy? Your sound levels are all over the place, especially the news internet feed here. There is something called an Optimod, I believe it is, that sort of regulates sound for the radio. It doesn't always, it doesn't actually do it for online. So I'll have a look at that and see what the crack is. Right. The traffic lights in Downing's on Saturday morning were not working. They were both orange. I worked for the HSC. And when I went to the road at 7 a.m. the next morning, the traffic lights were turned the opposite way. And the cones that are usually uniform on the Strand Road were strewn across the road. People were obviously messing with the cones. It's extremely dangerous and people need to be fixing them in the morning. Of course, that must be the ongoing works to provide a walking path. It'll be interesting to see when that's finished and how many people use it. Right, okay, let's go to the picket line. Sharon Ward is the secretary at St Mary's National School, Malinhead. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing fine. Good morning. Right, now, you're 12 years at St Mary's National School, and you are affected, aren't you, by this unfair treatment of workers doing the same job. So I suppose in your words, you know, what's wrong, what needs to be fixed?
Well, all we are looking for is equality with the SNAs and the teachers in the school. Like, what people may not understand is some people think that maybe what we do is we answer phones and emails. But in reality, the work of the secretary in the school is we do the accounts, we do the year ends, the administration, the they were PA to the principals. We do the procurement, we pay the wages, we do an awful lot, plus the 200 other small jobs that ensure the day-to-day running of the school, so that the teachers and the principals are able to spend their time teaching, and we take as much pressure off them as we possibly can. And what we're doing now goes against everything that we want. We want to be in work, we want to be doing our job and helping the students settle back into school, but we have fought for this for so long, just to be treated fairly, to get a pension for the service that we provide. And in some cases, secretaries and caretakers have 20 or 30 years service, and we just want a pension for the service that we provide and in the years that we've worked in the school.
Yeah, I think it's important to get out there the work that school secretaries and caretakers do, because sometimes I think maybe the state, if they're resisting it, perhaps they're relying on the fact that the public don't really think secretaries work that hard or do that much. Now, I know from years in this seat that that's not the case, but I think sometimes it suits the Department of Education if people don't really understand how involved the job of a secretary is.
Yes, it really is. Like, what we do, it just helps every day the teachers and the principals to do their job. The most important job in the school is to educate the children. And we are there. We're the front line. Anybody comes into the school meets us first. And we do the enrolment. It's the front line in the school is what they say. We're the first parents.
Yeah, I'm just bringing you in here, Amanda Kelly. That's Amanda's voice you just heard, secretary at Anar Bria National School, Malin Head. Sorry, Amanda, you were going to say there.
The first point of contact the parents meet, so we're the face of the school, and we just want parity with our other colleagues, our SNAs, teachers.
What kind of support have you been getting? Because I think there might have been a hope, if not an expectation, that maybe the government might have used the weekend to sort of sit down and try and thrash something out. So, I'll start with that question. How disappointed are ye that there's been no movement over the weekend?
It's very disappointing. Yeah. We were hoping as well to have a resolution by this time and hoping to just be back at work now.
But there's been nothing. There's no talks. There's no nothing at the minute. The department have done. They were in a meeting last week with the WRC and our colleagues in the union, and there was no agreement reached at all.
And you are prepared to strike for as long as it takes.
We're going to do it as long as it takes. Now we're here for the long haul. Unfortunately, it's not what we want. We want to be back at work. But we have to stand up. We have to stand our ground now till this is resolved.
I just want to bring this question in. I cannot understand the argument for these pension rights. They now expect the same pension rights as those who did 5 years at university to get qualified. Now, there are people doing the exact same job. I don't know what the qualifications are, but there are people doing your exact same job employed by the Department of Education that have all of these rights. So I think most people might think it's fair that people doing the same job receive the same level of remuneration and advantages, i.e. a pension.
We just want to be on parity with the other school secretaries that are getting the pension. It's an equal parity. Like, we're in the schools. We're all paid by the department. The SNAs, the teachers, get their critical illness leave, their bereavement leave, and their pensions. We don't get any of that. And we just want parity.
Amanda, this works if the work that you do isn't actually being done as well, so to speak. Are you satisfied that, obviously it's up to the Department of Education to do what they need to do, but, you don't want necessarily teachers doing your work, even if they could, or what have you. What is the situation in that regard, like payroll processing and all that kind of stuff?
We've been advised that the INTO have said that they have advised their members not to do our work while we're on strike. In regards to payroll and that, what?
The principals are allowed to do payroll, to do the payroll, to pay the main,
Yeah.
But in the majority, we have the support of the principals and the teachers and the staff, and they will not be doing our work in the school. No. Like, the support that we've got from our colleagues has been amazing, and the parents, we're so grateful for that support. They understand the work we do, and we are so grateful for that. And even on the picket lines, the parents have been talking to us and saying hard words that they understand what we do, and they just want us to get what we're entitled to, which is fantastic.
All right, what school are you? Sorry, go ahead, Amanda.
We don't want the strike to impact other people's pay or affect other areas of school or the children or that. We just want to get a resolution.
I know you don't want to, but that's what your role is to make everybody's life easier. But, you know, I get where you're coming from, and that's the human coming out in you. But at the same time, if people don't recognise what it's like when you're not there, you know, and trust other people aren't going to take on your workload for any long periods of time either. What you're out at the moment, hopefully getting a good bibs from the public there, are you? And what have you?
Yeah.
All right.
We're very rural here at the minute in Mullen Head. There's not that much traffic, unfortunately, but we're out, and the traffic that is going past are supporting us, which is great. It just goes against everything that we do in our role to be standing out here. It's
not
so hard. No, we want to be in work. We want to be doing our job, but unfortunately, it's got to this stage, and we're going to be here for the long haul.
All right. Listen, thank you so very much, both of you, for joining me. I do appreciate your time. That was Sharon Ward and Amanda Kelly. They are two school secretaries. Sharon Ward's been at her school for 12 years. Amanda has been at hers for 13 years. And they just want parity with secretaries in other schools that are employed directly by the Department of Education. And they get entitlements like holiday pay and over the summer and pension entitlements. It's the same with the caretakers as well. Some of them, caretakers and secretaries, are employed directly by the Department of Education. Others are employed by the school board with money from the Department of Education, but because of them being employed in a different way, it means they don't have the same entitlement as SNAs or the secretaries and caretakers. I'll just read this comment in its entirety. I cannot understand the argument for these pensions rights. They now expect the same pension right as those who did 5 years at university to get qualified. Surely, if I had the same benefits as the teachers, I won't bother with the university degree. So I presume you're pitching the secretaries and caretakers there against an SNA, for an example. I'm not sure of the wage structures, but your pension entitlements and what have you, or whatever you might get paid on holidays, would be in your pay scale. So they're not looking for the equal pay to SNAs if their pay is greater, or equal rights if their rights are greater. They're looking for pay, holiday pay, and pension rights in line with their pay income, if you know what I mean, their pay structure, which is, for most people, I don't think would be seen as incredibly unreasonable, but maybe you think they're greedy or something. That's fine if that's your view. 086 60 25,000. Right, we're joined on the programme now by Councillor Fionnuala Bradley, and it's in the context of a statement put out by Bunkrana Tidy Towns, the Bunkrana Tidy Towns Initiative, and it said, "Dear Bunkrana, it's been a long, hard summer for us this year. Losing the road sweeper more than tripled the work for us, with many volunteers litter picking 3 to 4 days a week, as well as working on other projects. Rewarding as this work is, it's also exhausting, as we all also have jobs, families and busy lives. Judging for the competition should now be complete, and we will no longer be maintaining the same level of work and will be stopping the street cleans for the foreseeable future. Donegal County Council has been working in the background to provide another service, but to no avail. We would ask that all private citizens and businesses please look after their own area, litter, pick, weed and scrape the paths outside of their facades. And if you could highlight this issue to the local council until this issue is resolved." Councillor Fionnuala Bradley, last cam caller of Donegal County Council, joins us. I mean, what's happened here? Is it a case that Donegal County Council's pulled the pin on the sweeper because they say, sure, look, those volunteers at Bunkrana are doing this anyway, why should we be spending the money?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. And at the outset, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come on this morning and to speak in relation to this issue, because it's been a very topical issue in and around Buncrana for a number of months now at this point. So, look, to answer your question, Greg, no, it absolutely is not the case that Donegal County Council have just decided to pull the pin and pull the service. And if you would bear with me, I would give you a very brief synopsis of what has happened since roughly the month of May. So at that point, the council had put out for a tendering process for a sweep of Buncrana on four mornings in the week. So before that, it had been done for three mornings in the week. And when the tendering process was up, following consultation with the Tidy Towns, it was felt that we would try and increase that service to 4 days. To the best of my knowledge, there are only two service providers in the county who are able to provide a street sweeping service. And very unfortunately, for reasons unknown to me, neither of those service providers offered a tender application while this process was ongoing, and indeed when it came to its conclusion. So that left the council in a sticky wicket, you might say, because no service provider, no contractor had put in a tender to provide this service, and the council doesn't own its own street sweeping machine. So in the absence of that, what has happened is a contractor has been appointed now to, you might say, manually do that work. So on three mornings a week, there were three sweeps in the week. Now on three mornings in the week, a contractor goes around and empties the bins on the main street and manually collects the litter with pickers and with bags and shovels and whatever else. Now, at the very outset of this, way back in the month of May, there was a meeting held between the road section of the council, the Buncrana councillors, and the Tidy Towns. And at that meeting, given that we don't have our own street sweeper, I had proposed that the council should buy a machine. And you might recall that I had brought forward a motion at the following meeting in Lifford, the following council meeting, for the provision of our own services in-house, or basic services like our street sweeping and the like of it. And I'm very, very pleased to confirm that a machine is being bought. The machine is known as a Billy Goat, and it's actually in transit at the minute to the company that the council is buying it off. And it's hoped that that machine will be in Buncrana, please God, by the middle of September, and hopefully no later than that. But there have been delays now with the order of it. So that's a very brief synopsis, Greg,
of the situation. Okay, so where we're at now, are you saying a street sweeping machine has been acquired and will be on the streets of Buncrana how many days a week?
No, sorry, to be perfectly clear, this machine that's known as a Billy Goat isn't a street sweeper in the sense of the machine that would previously have swept the road through Buncrana, the main streets, etc. It's a machine that will be able to be used on the footpath. It's a machine that there's a suction element to it, obviously, so it'll be able to gather cigarette butts, broken glass, small pieces of rubbish and the like.
And who runs that? Who will drive that, and how often will it be out? I see it now. It's a big vacuum cleaner, really. Who will push, who will steer that around the streets of Buncrana, and how often?
That machine will be used, I believe, by the contractor who is now doing the cleaning of the street manually. So it'll be a council-provided service, the use of that Billy Goat on the streets of Buncrana to clean the broken glass, the cigarette butts and the small pieces of waste and litter that can't really be manually collected, you know, because it's too fidgety or whatever to be left on such small pieces by hand. It's just virtually impossible.
Okay, so the funding will be there then to employ this private company to do this work. The council has said that funding is perpetual, year after year after year.
Yes, yeah, and look, I want to be perfectly clear, because there is what I would call confusion, mass confusion around the issue of the budget and funding. I can confirm right now to you, Greg, that the funding for the street sweeping service in Buncrana in 2024 was exactly the same as it was in 2025. So not one single euro was lost from last year to this year. Now, I'll subvent that by saying there was a difference last year, because there was an issue with the cost for the contractor who was providing that service, and obviously with inflation and all the rest of it, everybody's costs had gone up and outgoings had gone up. So what happened last year was the three Buncrana councillors that were there, which is Councillor Murray and former councillors Donaghy and Crossan, subvented the street sweeping service with money from their minor infrastructure fund, and the council road section also put in money that was going to be used for filling potholes and tarring roads, etc.
Okay, but Fionnuala, why don't you use your influence and other councillors use their influence to ensure that proper funding is made available to properly maintain Buncrana? You know, rather than just accepting that this is the cap of money available and councillors digging into their discretionary fund, which means that's taking it away from other important stuff, you know, where that money used to go into the past. So why effectively, and I think that discretionary funding is a little bit like the people's money at the will of the councillors, if you don't mind me describing it like that. Why is there not more pressure on the council to increase their budgets and reward the ratepayers and the general population of Buncrana with properly clean streets?
Yeah, well, sorry, if I just might finish that point about the money that was subvented from last year. The council's internal audit section and the local government auditor both came down very hard on the council for having done that and said that was not going to be acceptable going forward. Now, in relation to pressure, Greg, since the beginning of this saga, I have contacted the area manager for roads, I've contacted the director for roads, and I've contacted the director of finance in Donegal County Council for the very reason you're asking me, you know, why haven't I done it or why wouldn't I do it, to say that the budget has to be increased. Now, at the same time, Greg, we are spending people's money, and the councillors do have a responsibility, as do the management of the council, to ensure that that money isn't wasted. So it can never be a situation whereby a private contractor would be given any amount of money that they wanted to provide this service. There does have to be a balance struck there. And I believe that, that can happen and that it should happen. But more than getting more money for a private contractor, I'll come back to my original point. We as a council should be providing these services in-house. We should have our own street sweeper. Buncrana Town Council, before it was abolished, had its own street sweeper, and it was council staff who provided the sweeping service, and that was 5 days a week, and that service worked brilliantly well. And that's where I would like us to get back to, where we are providing our own basic services in-house through our own resources, both human in terms of staff and machinery, etc.
And
we're
you
not
saying
relying on private contracts.
A tender for road sweeping went out, and there were no tenders. There were no tenders received by the council.
That's correct. The tender went out in the same way that all these tenders are put out in the public domain on e-tenders and on the council website. And unfortunately, neither of the service providers in the county
And you might not know this, but you might not know this, but was a budget included? Was a budget included in the tender offer? In other words, we are seeking tenders up to a value of such and such. Do we know that? I'm not expecting you to know that. It's just in case you didn't know it.
No, well, I have asked that question, and I am led to believe, Greg, that no, it was left open-ended. It was asking the contractors to tell us how much it would cost for a sweep 3 days a week, plus what's called a long sweep. So that would be the main street, St Mary's Road, plus other areas of the town on the fourth morning in the week, to come back with a cost, tell us how much that would cost, and then for us to look at the budget that is there in place and see could the two marry. Okay. So, no, it was a very open-ended, honest process.
Right, no, I'm not saying it would be just... No, one second. I never said it was dishonest. I was just asking if maybe there was a cap on it that could have discouraged people. I've no doubt it was a perfectly honest process. Stay there, Fionnán, because Kieran McKenna's with us as well. And Kieran, I think you, and like I, have nothing but respect for not only the Buncrana Tidy Towns initiative, but the hundreds of volunteers around our county. But we can't rely on them, can we? We can't take advantage of them, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg, and your listeners. No, and at the end of the day, like it has been them volunteers that have kept our country looking so well throughout the summer. And like the life of volunteer, yes, you know, at this stage, you know, I'd say they're being exploited because, you know, like they said in their statement, you know, that families and you know the age demographic of some of these guys, women and men on the Tidy Towns, you know, my biggest fear is who's going to replace these people, you know what I mean, on these committees. And like, it's not just road sweeping that they do. You know, if you looked at their social media page, you know, they're pulling out hedges, they're cleaning roadways, they're doing multiple jobs that to me, you know, it's sad in this day and age that there isn't money, you know, provisions there through the council to do these jobs.
As a ratepayer, like, Kieran,
when I was a child, in any local town and village, you know, they had their own council staff, they had their own equipment. You know, listen to Fionnán, yes, there's, you know, there was without the E10 or whatever, but maybe this new thing that they're going to do with a billy goat is more lucrative to a private operator. Why does it have to be a private operator? there's so many people, you know, within the council, you know, probably would take on that role.
But okay, just stay there, Kieran. I have a question for Fionn. Fionn, do you know how much it cost, you know, when it was tendered out for street cleaning versus how much we're paying a private operator? Do you know, is it the same? Is it less? Is it more?
Sorry, are you asking me the town council break?
What I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, you know, there is a budget there for it. You talked about the Tidy Towns budget, right? Paying this private operator to do this, how much of that budget does it eat up? Is it excessive? Is it the same? Do we know?
Well, what I know, Greg, is that there was a budget for the provision of street sweeping services in Buncrana, and all of that budget in previous years had been spent on street sweeping services in Buncrana. There was never any money left over from that budget. You know, it was always spent, and that budget has now been used. I had made the mistake in saying that the private contractor is cleaning the street 3 days a week now, which, to correct myself, it's 5 days in a week, actually. Okay. So that budget that was there for street sweeping has now been used by that private contractor to empty the bins and to manually collect the litter on 5 days in a week, Tuesday and Thursday, than the 2 days when it doesn't happen.
All right, stay there. Kieran McKenna, as a business owner, you know, you pay quite an awful lot of rates. Does this make you sort of feel, you know, what's your return on the rates? Or maybe you believe that this private operator is a solution to it. If he's out or she's out 5 days a week and they've got a new piece of equipment, they can get more done. Maybe that's the solution. Kieran, I think I've lost Kieran. I'll bring Rachel in. Rachel, are you there?
Yes.
All right. I think you're sort of joining with what other people on the text machine are doing and paying tribute to the work that the Buncrana Tidy Towns Initiative has done up until now.
They're an amazing bunch of people. So they are, I mean, they've all got jobs and families. They give up their own time. And without them, the town would be an absolute disaster, in all honesty. And it just shouldn't be that way. I mean, you said to Kieran there, people are paying rates. Where are these rates going if not to keep the town clean and tidy? And that, I know there are other things, but surely to God, that's another part of the rate system. I don't understand it. I was born and raised on the main street in Buncrana myself, so I was. Years ago, there was a man who went around with a cart and lifted the rubbish. It worked perfectly well. Since they've put it out to private tender, the whole thing just seems to have gone completely upside down. I don't understand at all why the council don't have their own staff or their own team to do this. Even without the equipment like the billy goat and that, there should be some provision for their own staff to do this. They shouldn't be relying on private citizens to clean up what they're basically being paid for.
All right, listen, Rachel, very succinct and to the point. You mentioned Kieran. I think Kieran's back with me, Kieran. I think you did mention in some of your commentary a bit of frustration about where the business rates you pay is actually going.
Exactly, Greg. It's criminal. It's a criminal amount of money, you know what I mean, that small businesses have to pay, let that be in the main street and the outskirts of Buncrana, you know, or anywhere else in the nation. Like, you know, if I even go to our hometown of Mavelle, you know, it's people at Tidy Towns and local volunteers that's cleaning the street there also. And then, if you know, another stat as well that you might be aware of, Greg, even the simple thing of cutting the grass and the greens between Inishowen is shared on one machine, so The machine goes from Buncrana to Mavelle and back again. You know, it's one has to ask you, where does the money go? And, you know, like, why as Rachel said, why does it have to be privatised? You know, there is people within the council that's able to do these jobs. But, like everything else, it's red tape and it's coming from another direction. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, surely this machine's on its way, but it's sad that after 4 months during a busy, you know, tourism season in Inishowen, that all they'll get is, you know, that's what it took. It took the Tidy Towns. Like, people, listeners need to be aware that Buncrana is the second biggest town in Donegal, and they're about 4 points away from winning a national title at Tidy Towns level, which will be phenomenal, and it will be just reward for the volunteers that are there in Buncrana Tidy Towns.
Okay.
Some of them start at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and, you know, to go to 10 maybe. And, you know, on a Saturday morning, there could be 15 to 20 volunteers, Greg, you know, out in Mulcana, along with all them mornings during the summer. But if they weren't there, that main street, I don't know, I wouldn't hate to see what it would have been like.
Yeah, Kieran, listen, thank you for that. Finan, just finally to you, unfortunately, Buncrana Tidy Towns haven't made anyone available to chat to me, so there's obvious questions that I can't put to them, but I'll ask you, have you advised Buncrana Tidy Towns initiative of this new machine, coming into the town in mid-September? And if you have, what have they said back to you? Does this satisfy their concerns?
Well, yes, I have. As soon as I was aware that this machine was been ordered and purchased by Donegal County Council, I did contact the Tidy Towns. And throughout this entire saga, since roughly the month of May, I have been in regular contact with the Tidy Towns and have attended several meetings between them, the council officials, and the Buncrana councillors. So as to whether it satisfies them or not, I honestly couldn't make comment on that. I hope that it does. I feel that they do think that it will be a help and an improvement, and I certainly feel that as well. And I mean, it's a case of maybe giving a time to see this machine in operation, to see the difference that it will make, and hopefully that then we can move forward from this.
Well, they're not doing it, we'll know. Yeah, go ahead, yep.
Sorry, if I could just for 1 minute, I genuinely want to agree with both Kieran and Rachel, and I had said that before they had come onto your show this morning, that this service shouldn't be privatised. And I really do want that point hammered home, that I fully believe the council should provide the service in-house from our own resources, that we should own a sweeping machine, and that the council staff should be driving it and using it to sweep the streets of Buncrana Town and its environs. And I have been perfectly clear on that since the very start.
All right, listen, I do have to go, if you can be very brief, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to, appeal. I wanted to say that the town of Buncrana is looking very well, and that is unquestionably down to the effort of the Tidy Towns volunteers. Like, they do make a massive difference to the town. We've won 9 successive gold medals in a row, and that's no mean feat.
They know that. They just want the council. Yeah, they know all of that. They just want the council to back them.
Yeah.
Pat's on the back at this stage. He's not cutting it. They actually want the council to come up with the proper funding to provide the proper services. I think they're fully aware of their achievements with respect. But
I would appeal to everybody now to move forward together for the betterment of Buncrana, us the councillors, the council officials, the Tidy Towns volunteers, and all the local businesses, because the last thing we need are rows and division, because Buncrana is what is going to suffer. So I really would appeal.
It's a group of people who are volunteers have said enough is enough. Why should we be, their statement holds there. But listen, I take your point. Thank you. We might, hopefully, former Councillor Nicholas Crossan can join us after 10, but I've run completely out of time and the weather's on the way.